Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Have you ever lost something of value to you? Like, have you ever lost, lost your phone? Or like, when you lose something, you don't do an inventory of your found things. While looking for your phone, you think, well, there's my couch. At least I have a couch. No, you don't even really care about it, actually, at that moment. I actually lost one of my five kids once. Thank you very much. It is funny now. It wasn't funny on that day. So I have a daughter and four sons, and my youngest son is on the autism spectrum. Pretty high functioning. His name is Joseph. He does pretty well. The only problem is he really seizes up in stressful type situations. In fact, he won't even go to our student conference because he calls it auditory Armageddon. Dad, I'm not going. That's auditory Armageddon. He just can't handle it. It's just too much stimulus. He just can't handle it. And so he does pretty well for a while until the pressure's on. We were vacationing in Colorado. Three of my kids were born in Colorado. And we decided to go take them back to Colorado on a holiday, saved up for it. Just, man, we're going to teach all you guys how to ski. And really excited about it. And we skied for 3 days, had a wonderful time. And on the last day, we decided that we're just going to walk the village. Now, we're traveling with two other families. There's about 20-something of us. And we decided we're just going to walk the village, go through the shops. That'll be our final day on this holiday. We start off in a coffee shop, and we're just all getting coffees, 20-something of us. About the time the last person got their coffee, Joseph, unbeknownst to anyone, he didn't announce it, decides to go over to the toilet. He wanted to use the restroom, right? And so we don't know he's in there. So when the last person got their coffee, we all leave the coffee shop. We walk down the street and go into an ice cream store. We were going to eat our way down the street. Come on, somebody, right? And so we're now all of us in another store. Joseph comes out of the bathroom, doesn't see anybody, goes the opposite direction. And this wasn't a particularly safe place we were in, actually. In fact, just that month, a 14-year-old girl named Heather was kidnapped from that village. They found her remains that she had been used in a sacrifice in the mountains. In fact, they identified her only through her dental remains. They knew it was her by her teeth. That was the only thing left from her. When he's missing, all of a sudden I realized, hey, guys, where's Joseph? Where's Joseph? They go, I don't know. And my mind goes straight to this story. And to say I freaked out is an understatement. I mean, when I say I freaked out, I freaked out. Freaked out. I said, guys, we got to find him now. Because he can't handle it. He wouldn't have been able to even tell who he knows. Or he just doesn't, he can't do that. Like we had pre-planned it, 20 people went go in 20 different directions. I found a security guard leaning up against the building. He's got a radio and a gun. He's just sitting there, arms folded. And I'm frantic. Sir, you got to help me find my son, Joseph. He's about 13 years old. He's got reddish blonde hair. He's autistic. You got to help. And the guy never unfolded his arms. And he says, well, did you look the last place you saw him? Can I confess my sins at conference, everybody? I'm going to take you out right now, man. Help me out. Help. You have abilities that you're not helping me with. And I was irritated by his inactivity because something of value was missing to me. Now, this didn't happen at all, but can you imagine during the search for Joseph, my kids coming up to me, hey, daddy, what are we doing for dinner tonight? Now, that's a great question if Joseph's not missing. It's a horrible question with Joseph missing. Like, can you imagine sometimes what our prayers might sound like to God? Hey, daddy, really? You want to talk about that now? And because it's just not a great question. But the people that are so far from God, when he's counting on his church to be on his search committee. I'm just telling you. Is it okay? Are y'all okay? I'm very passionate about this. In fact, I'm so passionate about it. I tell this story at our membership class at Church of the Highlands. So when people decide to join our church, I say, hey, look, we're going to do anything short of sin to reach as many lost people as we can. And we're going to do everything we can to meet your needs and to be good pastors for you and build a great church for you, but that's not primary. And if you want that to be primary, if you want all the attention on you, you probably ought to go ahead and find another church now. Because we're gonna make the main thing, and that is we're gonna seek and to save those who are lost, just like Jesus did. Are you listening to me? So there was never a moment while we were looking for Joseph that I thought, I got four others. 80% ain't bad. You know, I never thought that, you know. In fact, I didn't really care about them. At the end of the story, I saw Joseph. I'm the one who found him. He was a little fair-skinned face, was blush red from crying so hard. And he was just looking back and forth, just kind of walking pretty fast, just frantically trying to find someone he recognized. And I saw him crossing this little stone bridge over a creek in this little snow village. And I yelled, Joseph! And he looked and he ran as fast as he could toward me and we embraced. Dad, I've been looking for you everywhere. I said, son, I've been looking for you too. And Pastor John, I became a different kind of a pastor that day. It changed the way I lead a church. It changed the way I live my own life. It just made me clear to know the heart of God is for his kids that are missing. And I just know if God had the chance to talk to his church, he would say, would you please go into all the world and touch as many lives as you can? And if you will, lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of it.
Did you get that today? We have a brand new theme this month that Pastor Andy helped announce last week called Gazing Out the Window. And I want to give you the why behind the what today, but that message I heard in Birmingham about 8 years ago, and it's impacted me to this day into the vision and the mission and the values of Now Church. What a powerful illustration of the heart of a good father on this Father's Day, that he cares about his kids, but when something's going on with one, he's zeroing in on you. He's not going to leave you alone. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from the Message Bible. Paul the Apostle writes, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious people, meticulous moralists, loose living immoralists. The defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. And I say to you, it's time to build bridges again and not walls. We need to build bridges again toward hurting and broken people. Finally, Colossians chapter 4 from the Message says this, verse 5. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders, among lost, unsaved people. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech with them. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not to put them down, not to cut them out. Let's pray one more time. God, would you open the eyes of our heart today and grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Father God, on this Father's Day, we honor you as our Heavenly Father, and we ask you to say, to pray that as we lean into you, that you would reveal to us your heart, your heartbeat, and your desire for others. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Pastor Andy Elms did such a great, great job. Did you enjoy Pastor Andy? He was a really good man of God. Everywhere we went, by the way, he was supernaturally natural doing what he preached to us on Sunday. Every place we went, the servers, our waitresses or waiters, he was praying, talking to them, talking about Jesus, and inviting them to church. And second service, what you don't know from first service, second service, our server from Ivy on the Square from last Saturday night was here second service and gave her life to Jesus. And then where we went on Monday morning for breakfast, she's supposed to be here today. If you're here today, Colby, just make yourself known to me after first or second service because we want to know. She says she works most Sundays, but she's going to be here sometime soon. I loved how Pastor Andy said that the roar of Pentecost started in the upper room but didn't stay there. Downstairs, ground level, and out the door. That's the way he described it. I love that. That's impact, and that's one of our words as a church for over three decades is the word impact. Everybody say impact.
Impact.
What kind of impact are you making? What kind of impression are you making on lost people? If you were the only Christian in somebody else's world that they had ever met, what would they think about Jesus? How would they think? What would their perception of God be if you were the only Christian, the only Bible believer that they had ever met? You know, there are times and seasons of life where we get so busy in the daily grind, fighting periodic battles and pressures, that we become caught up in small, narrow, and self-absorbed mindsets, existing as survivors instead of living and thriving as conquerors and liberators that Jesus called us to be. And that is a dangerous place for the church. We all want to be close to God, don't we? Isn't that why we're here today on a Sunday? You're not sleeping in, you're here. Well, we want to be close to God. We want to get closer to him. We want to know him. We want to be intimate. Well, intimacy with God means you get to know the Father's heart, which is always beating to reach others. Others, lost and broken others. When we went a few years ago and announced to the church back in, you know, way back in the teens that we wanted to do a legacy building. There were already some people at that point, well, we like this building. Like, well, yeah, this building is fine for us if we don't want to grow, if we're not reaching others. But we need something different. This building is 28 years old. You know, this building we're doing the best we can with it, and we're going to keep upgrading and updating and that kind of thing. But eventually, my friends, this is going to be the children's building and the youth building. We built it for that 28 years ago, thinking in 5 or 10 years, this will be the children's and youth building. But in a few more years, this will be the children's and youth building, and we will have a new sanctuary right over here on this side. Okay? Not because we're not happy with this building, or we're not satisfied with what God has done with the legacy building. It's never about who's already here. It's always about those who don't know God and draw an impression based on the presentation they see. That's why we're not building cathedrals with steeples and pews and big crosses and all these things. Because people are not looking for a new religion. They're looking for a relationship with God. If they're open at all, they're open to relationship. They're not looking for religion. I dare say most of you, when you came here, you weren't looking for a new religion, but you were looking to connect with God a little more closely, weren't you? And so that's why we major on the majors. We don't major on the minors. We're not trying to be the most religious church, and we're not trying to be the most, you know, a lot of people, they freak out when you get certain things in the church going on and you get people coming in that are lost. And, you know, lost people are messy. Weren't you messy when you got saved? I feel like I'm a mess once in a while now. I've been saved for 45 years. But we're not perfect. We're in a journey. We're going someplace. Gazing out the window. This phrase came to me a few weeks ago when I sort of sensed some things in my spirit, even before our vacation. Gazing out the window. Have you ever just sat down at the mall and watched people interacting and walking around? A few may be happy, buying something they want, but many look so sad or just stone-faced, stoic, empty shells of numbness. And you just watch them. But here's the point. Everyone has their own story. Everybody's going through something. Something made them become the way they are. If they are depressed or they're going through something. They are the way they are because of something that happened. Some drama, some trauma, some missing piece of their soul. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. People aren't looking for religion, but they're looking for the way. They're looking for the truth. And they're looking for life. I want to share a little bit of our history briefly for those of you who've come in the last few years, because what you don't know, I think if you can hear some of the history of what we've been through as a church, you would understand some things about why we are the way we are. Now, church has always been purposed to be a word church. We believe the Bible is the inerrant, inspired, fallible word of God. I say it all the time. We believe, we're called to be a faith-filled, Holy Spirit-led church, giving space for God's presence to move in and set the agenda. And those are great things. That's who we are. But I'll tell you, after the first 17 years, 2007, we went through a prophetic reset. By 2007, I was very uncomfortable as the pastor because I realized we were becoming very egocentric, very introvert. We were becoming so good at doing life together that we weren't actually communicating to new people coming in that we wanted them here. It was very subtle, but I started to get very uncomfortable in my spirit, and I was preaching other places and started to see and taste of different flavors of the move of God. And so we went through what I call 2007, turning the church inside out. Up to that point, we were I would never have described us as a super religious church. We didn't have pews. We always had chairs. We had different things. We actually had pew chairs back in that time. We had these really bright purple chairs, and they went all the way across, and we wore suits and ties. And never forget 2007. I announced one Sunday, probably June, coming back from a vacation like I just did, and came and said, so you know what? We're going to take the whole 2007. Let's take the summer off. No tie summer. And some people just went, huh? Most of our men were like, yes. You know what I always say? No news is good news. I'm back. But so, for 17 years, we were wearing suits and ties in the summer in Florida. Duh. Why? Because it's what we felt we had to do. We got rid of the tie. Then the jacket came off. And within 3 months, I said, you know what? What if everybody just wears what they're comfortable in on a Sunday morning? Why should it offend a guy that wants to wear a suit and tie to come in and sit there and have Chris Farley wear shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt like he usually does? He's dressed up today. But Chris was one of the first guys who was like, wear whatever we want? Yeah! And so we had this like epiphany moment, like, wow, you mean wear whatever you want. And I had pastor friends of mine say, oh, you can't do that. In Florida, you won't be able to do that. You're going to get women coming to church being immodestly attired. They're going to wear bikinis to church if you say you can wear whatever you want. I can report to you now, after 18 years, I don't think we've ever had a bikini-clad woman on a Sunday morning. Some of you might welcome it, but I'm not, you know. But I mean, I'm just saying to you, and I'm not asking you to do that, by the way. I'm just saying, some people get, the religious mindset is, if we don't set up a dress code, nobody will know what to do. Well, we never had any naked people show up yet. I said naked for those of you from Ocklawaha, but anyway. Anyway. We turn the church inside out. Briefly, I'll tell you, over the next few weeks, I'll maybe tell you more, but one of the things that happened with me is I always am trying to win people to the Lord in people that cut my hair or people that sell me insurance or whatever in the community. I'm always building relationships with people. I'm not trying to beat them or they have the Bible, but I'm trying to always be mindful and build relationships, relationship evangelism. Done it all my, ever since I got saved. Well, several people I was sharing the Lord with, I said, I bribed them. I said, I need you to come to our church as a spy. As what? Yeah, I want you to come to church. I'm not going to acknowledge you, introduce you, or anything else. I just want you to come to church, and then I'm going to take you out for a nice meal the next week, and I wanted to ask you some questions about your experience. Because I said, after 17 years, I can't walk into my church for the first time in my mind anymore. I can't imagine what it is like for a first-timer to come in. I need some help. So they all did it. All three people that I was sharing the Lord with at the time, a gym guy and restaurant guy and some other guy or lady, and I got with them, and then I asked them questions, like, what was your experience? They all said the similar things. They said everybody was friendly to them, but they said everybody was so tight in their conversations when they came into the sanctuary, came into, onto the property. They said it was that we could see they loved each other, but it didn't feel like there was room for us. They were so tight, we could never get in that tight. And they all said it. I said, well, that's cliquish. I hate cliques. I could eat in the lunchroom at school, in high school, with any group I wanted to, but I hated the cool kids table. I could eat with them because I was in so many, involved in so many things in high school. But I hated that clique thing. Don't you hate that? I hate that clique thing, that us four and no more. That we're the cool kids, and you have to kind of do what we say or kind of toe the line. And so we went through a metamorphosis, and we started turning the church inside out. And I'll tell you, we went through some challenges. We made a few subtle changes. We made a few big changes, but some people freaked out about it. We weren't changing who we are or what we believe, but we were changing our methods, because the message is sacred. The methods aren't. The methods change. The Holy Spirit can use anything. He can speak through a donkey if he wants to. The methods change, but we've got to be open to change with that, without losing our identity and our message. And so we started having people come in. Listen, here's one thing that happened. I got to tell you this, and I got to move on. But we were on television for 9 years up to that point. And we had visitors every Sunday. We had 10, sometimes 15, 20 visitors come every Sunday morning. And so we didn't realize till we went off TV and didn't have any more visitors, our people had stopped inviting their friends or relating with people or inviting people to church. That's a dangerous place for a church. We didn't realize it, but they were no longer bringers. They weren't bringers. Why? Because we were so tight that they knew they wanted to talk to their friends here, and that'd be inconvenienced by somebody coming from work or whatever else. And that's a very difficult place to be. We didn't realize. We thought we were healthy because we had new people coming, but they were watching us on TV, on TV 20 and on Channel 55 of Orlando. They were watching us on television. We had great ratings. We had great things happening. We heard from pastors every week that were watching our message on 8 o'clock Sunday morning on TV 20, ABC, and they would watch our message and go to church and preach my message, and we would hear from them. From Lake City, I'm not kidding, from Lake City to Orlando and all around. We had some, but what happened was people were coming that were already like us. They were already saved and spirit-filled. And the problem is, when you lose that touch with broken and hurting and lost people, you can lose the heart of God real quick. Go into all the world. I love what Pastor Andy said last week, the great go mission. The good news, the gospel, all starts with G-O, go. Get outside the doors and start doing something to build relationships with people. And we set out to change our culture, and thank the Lord, it has changed and is continuing to change. Let's not stand here becoming overly infatuated with ourselves. It's not healthy. And then this year, I started to feel it again. As we came into 2025, I started sensing it again. I started seeing signs of it. Yeah, let me give you quick, just real quick. I'm not going to preach or teach this long, but let me give you signs that a church is getting unhealthy. Okay? Signs that a church is getting unhealthy. Number one, murmuring. Murmuring. People start fighting for power, position, and titles, like religious politics. Or they start saying, I want to be, or I want to do this, or somebody else has my spot, or I'm not being fed anymore like I was. They start to get murmuring. They start to feel it. Start to feel that start to arise earlier in the year. Number two, infighting. Infighting. People start picking at each other like Korah did in the Old Testament with Moses. Hey, Moses, we're anointed too. Hey, Mo, who do you think you are? We're anointed too. God loves us too. Yeah, but you have a different role than Moses does. Number three, we forget why we exist. We forget why we exist as a church. Our mission statement, look over here. It's on the wall. It used to be on the wall over there. Now it's over there. Building a relevant, creative church, empowering people to reach others. Our mission statement, our vision statement used to be four big, long paragraphs. And nobody knew what the vision was. 2007, we took probably, guys, what, a year to synthesize this vision and parse every word of that mission statement. This is why we exist. We're here to build a relevant church, a creative church that empowers people to reach other people. The moment we're not doing that is the moment we need to shut the door. Thank you for that overwhelming response. Number four, salvations decrease because nobody's bringing like they used to bring. Number five, start pressuring leaders for things that are not in God's vision for this house. This is one of the things that happens. People come and say, let me tell you how they did it in my old church. Let me give you a clue. It's like waving a red flag in front of a bull to any of our pastors. When you start comparing us, we didn't just fall off the turnip truck last night. We've been here 3.5 decades. We've been here longer than some of you have been alive. We've been here longer than many of you have been alive. And we have learned a few things. Now, we're changing and growing, and God challenges us. But my old pastor, Benny Hinn, used to say this, any shepherd that walks behind the sheep just steps in doo-doo. Shepherds got to walk out front. Shepherds lead. They don't walk behind. So, listen, we love encouragements and that kind of thing. But you can't change the vision. As Pastor Chris Hodges said from Birmingham, from a great church there in Birmingham, Alabama, if you want us to be some kind of church you used to be in, then this in your church, we can't do every small group and every idea that comes down the pike. We were called Spirit Life Church for over 20 years, because we're striving to listen to the voice of God, to the next thing he says do. And we're into God ideas, not just good ideas. People start pressuring leaders. They start asking for stuff. What about this? What about that? Oh, we need book clubs. We need Bible studies. We need this. We need that. Listen. We are wide open to listen to heaven and to do exactly what he tells us to do. But every time we've ever done anything where we're just doing a good idea, anytime we've ever just had a good idea, it went right down anyway. It's the same with your life. You can have 1,000 good ideas, but one God thought is what changes your way. changes your life. One God thought, one God, how, hey, what about over here? Do this. That's what you do. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not the mouth of other people. Number six and last, signs that your church is getting unhealthy, sexual sin starts creeping in. You start feeling and seeing more individuals bound that were free start to compromise of the mind. When you start to see that, folks, these are things right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, by the way, that kept the original children of Israel out of their promised land. That's what the Bible says. And they are written for our warning, for our admonition. Paul the Apostle admonishes, don't ever forget your primary purpose. Their primary purpose is the lost and the broken people around you. Yes, like Pastor Chris Hodges says, we're doing our best to have a great, healthy church and to give you a cafe and spaces to be together and times and places and things and conferences and guest speakers and get you healthy and strong. We're doing the very best we can, but we've got to have our primary purpose, which is reaching others. Everybody say reaching others. Our text today says, walk in wisdom to those who are outsiders. Others are watching and listening to you, and you are called, you, not just me, you are called to make a difference in somebody else's life this week. This week. You are called to make a positive difference in somebody else's life this week. You are called this week to make a positive difference in somebody else's life. How many times do you want to say it? Well, I hope somebody else is hearing this message. No, I hope you're hearing this message. I hope you're hearing this message at home. Thank you. I will. Figuring it out again. Been off for 4 weeks. I almost forgot how. Paul said this, I become all things to all people that I might at least save some. But without compromise. Pastor Andy calls it relationship evangelism. I call it genuine caring for people. Just caring. Just starting a conversation. How you doing? What's going on? Amazing communication. Just to say hi. Just to be kind to somebody else. I become all things to all people. I'll never forget when in 2007 we did a Halloween thing. Instead of having a prayer night for Halloween, we did a costume carnival to try that out for a couple years. And we had a blast. It was really cool. Some people were like, really? Oh, I can't believe you're having Halloween. Oh, it's the devil's night. Let me say, the devil doesn't own a night. He doesn't own anything. It started as All Saints Day and got perverted and twisted because the church went and hid in the walls. Get outside. So we went outside. We did things, reaching out, going beyond the walls. We showed a movie 1 year at Christmas. We rented a big blow-up big screen and did some out on the field where we did this movie. I don't know what movie it was. We did an old Christmas movie. And somebody came and said, Pastor, someone's smoking out on our field. What should I do? I said, find an ashtray. They almost freaked out. What do you mean, find an ashtray? Well, we're not inviting them to smoke in the building, but we're not going to get them to quit smoking to come out. They don't know. They don't know. Lost people don't know. They're lost. So you can't get them to change before they get saved. You got to get them into the space where God is moving, and then God will deal with those things, okay? Clean up on aisle three. You know? Pastor, what? Someone's smoking. I don't like smoke any more than you do. Right now, there's worse smoke. Every time I cross the bridge on 17th Street, I get a contact high. At first, I thought it was fiberglass because it smells so, like, what is going on? And I don't know what's going on, if there's a factory down there or just a bunch of people living under the bridge. But I cross that 17th Street, I'm like, I get the violent munchies when I get it. Oh, come on. What's the violent munchies? Well, you... I know you know what the violent munchies are. Listen, As I said earlier, not many people looking for a new religion, but almost everyone is open and looking for a genuine relationship with God. And that can only come through Jesus. It can't come through spirituality. It can't come through just reading the Bible. You have to know Jesus. Almost done. Luke chapter 15. You don't have to turn there. Luke 15, the whole chapter is Jesus telling three stories we call parables or parallels of lost things. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. Each paints a picture of frantic desperation to find what they lost. The lost sheep lost himself. It was his own dumb fault. But the good shepherd at that moment leaves the 99 to go after it because he loves that one lost. He said, I love the 99, but they're already found. I've got to make sure I'm going after Joseph. I got to find the one who's lost. The woman lost a valuable coin. That coin just got lost in daily life in an imperfect world, like things do. You can't find, I don't know, some of you reach a certain age and you look for your glasses, like every day. And a lot of times they're on your head. I told you we don't have a perfect church. The prodigal son wasted his own life. It was his fault. His relationship with his father and all his resources were wasted. That's what prodigal means. But all the father could do is wait for him to come to the end of himself and watch for him to come home on his own. He went out every day and looked out. Where's my son? But he couldn't chase him down because it wouldn't have done him any good. All three stories of Jesus end with a huge celebration when lost things are found. Like Pastor Chris Hodges' true story of losing his autistic son, Joseph, the father's love goes into desperate action. While most of God's people stand around like the security guard with their arms folded, all the resources, but no urgency. Not wanting to be inconvenienced. My son is missing. And he's broken. Help me find him. My daughter is hurting. Father, give us your heart for others, both in our circle and outside our circle. My friends, if we're not reaching and leading hurting, lost, and broken people into a relationship with Jesus, we've become more of a country club than a church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, on this Father's Day, we honor you, we bless you, and we worship you. Would you give us your heart for those that are broken, those that are hurting, those who are lost, those who have wandered off the path, or those that have never found it? Lord, your word says that the celebration that happens when even one lost person is found and comes home to know you, that celebration in the presence of the angels is more than we can ever imagine. Let this church be filled with celebration after celebration. Deliver us from our selfishness. Set us free from our murmuring and our desire for power or prestige or position. Help us to be excited about the vision of what you are doing and not keep seeing what you're not doing or what we're not doing. Lord, we need you, Holy Spirit, to come and move. Help us to gaze out the window of our lives and to see the truth of where other people are. In Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed just for a moment. I'll tell you this right now prophetically. Within 1 mile of this church location, within 1 mile around us, there are people that went to sleep last night or early this morning that were so drunk, so blitzed, so abused, so confused, so hurt, so blaming. There are people right around you tomorrow when you go to work, when you go hang out with others or whatever you young people are doing for summer, if you're working summer jobs, there are people going to be around you that may have a pretend smile on their face or a very plastic mask on. But God is going to anoint you to just have compassion for them, to care for them, to love on them. Will you be open to being inconvenienced for the kingdom of God? Maybe you're here today or watching today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You can know right now before you leave this place that you are coming out of just a religious mindset and coming into a relationship heart by inviting the Lord Jesus into your life. And if that's you, I'm not going to have you raise your hands or anything right now, but I'm going to say this. Pray with me. Pray with me right now. Just everybody just say this. Just say, Jesus, I want to know you in a real way. Give me your heartbeat. In Jesus' name, fill me with your Holy Spirit and let my life be what you make it to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.